Talking Dutch.
Sometimes I feel like you don't know me at all.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Drinking a German beer with a Cuban cigar in the middle of Paris with a Dominican bar. Great head on her shoulder. She probably studied.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Middle segment hour number three. We've got an interesting little aside here. Because rolling in through Best Chevy on Highway 153 between Easley and Powdersville, we have in the flesh Andrew Whitman.
In full Special Forces gear. He came through the trees. He was propelling from the trees.
I saw him. I saw the nunchucks. That was the first thing I saw.
I didn't think a submarine could dock over here to let you get off.
Dusty told me this guy's a great encourager, but I didn't know. I feel so good right now.
Well, that's because I'll beat you up if I don't beat you down.
That's right. Speaking of that, I do want to ask you, because we've had conversations over the last couple of days about the response to Cole Stout. And when Dabo Swinney announced yesterday during our show, in our third hour, after we've been sort of talking about Nick Schuessler for about a day plus of our show, talking about, I know Roy was talking about Nick Schuessler.
Oh, man, Roy was going off, yeah.
Oh, man, so we're kind of prepping people. We're kind of getting people ready, okay, we might see some Nick Schuessler. And then Dabo comes out yesterday and says, Cole Stout's our starter. And immediately the tenor of the whole show changed. People were angry. People were bitter. People were upset. And I think, I don't know, I would think from his perspective, having not been in those shoes, that he, if he doesn't hear every comment or see every message we'll post or anything, he has to feel that. And all the fans in the stadium, he's got to feel that. What would you say to him at this point when people are upset that you're getting an opportunity?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, just since I'm looking at you in the
right.
today.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Are you a love-to-win guy or are you a hate-to-lose guy?
It fluctuates. I think I'm a love-to-win guy more than a hate-to-lose
like
guy.
Yeah.
Dutch?
Are you a love-to-win guy or a hate-to-lose guy?
I'm hate-to-lose.
Yeah, he's a hate-to-lose. You know what? That's he right. told me he used to run fast because he didn't want to get hit. And he was a running back. Okay, so he's a hate-to-lose. So what we're talking about with this whole thing with Cole Stout is interesting because it's how you frame it. And it's called biopsychology. So what I want to do is take my thoughts and my attitudes, and I want to use them in a way that gets my body to perform.
Okay.
So there was a study, why do people choke? And choking is defined as performing way below what your capabilities are. Okay, so this Johns Hopkins study, they tracked everybody, and what they found was that the people who hate to lose don't choke. People that love to win choke. And the reason is, because people who love to win, they're activating the reward center in their brain.
Okay.
People that hate to lose, they bypass the reward center. It ain't about the reward at all. What it's about, and then it goes straight to motor function and focus and attention. So think of it like this. This is why people fall off the wagon with diets, because the Oreo cookie will taste so good, so it's the reward center. But if you hate not having six-pack abs more than anything else in the world, you hate not being successful, you don't care about the reward.
Okay.
Think about the people that don't choke. Now, here, Michael Jordan is a hate-to-lose guy. Bill Belichick with the Patriots, a hate-to-lose guy. Nick Saban is a hate-to-lose guy. And these guys, when they win, they barely get a half smirk or a grin, whoo, and then they're on to the next thing. So they don't care one bit about the enjoyment of winning.
Mm-hmm.
What they hate is losing. So you could break my arm, but you're not going to beat me. I will never roll over and have you scratch my belly. You're going to have to break my arm to roll me over. Hate to be unsuccessful. You fall over into relationships. That I don't want to. I refuse to have an unsuccessful marriage. So what happens is, I will go watch Les Mis and watch Wolverine sing in French instead of watching football, right? Mm-hmm. Simply because I don't want to be unsuccessful. I hate it more than I would hate sitting through 2 hours. Yeah. I did, and I hated it, but whatever. Love you, baby. But that's the whole thing with Cole. He needs to reframe it, and I hate to lose. So he can go out there. We know he has the ability. We've seen him play before. It's not about confidence or physical ability. He just needs to reframe it and reroute the electrical thoughts in his brain to bypass the reward center, get to the attention, the focus, and the motor control skills, and go do what he does.
That's awesome. I love that.
Hope he's listening.
He'll probably, wrestle at the state level this year. Was on top of him. Now, he couldn't turn him, but he was on top of my son the whole time. I said, what are you doing, man? You outweigh that guy by 25 pounds. I don't care what his weight is. Nobody dominates you. You got to hate, you're going to have to break my arm before I let you dominate me. And that's really the mindset. If you frame everything in life and that I hate as a personal enemy, being unsuccessful, more than I love the reward, then you can get through all that junk. And you just reframe it in your mind. And actually, your brain kicks in and your body will go to work with you instead of against you, which is what you saw when you choke.
So that sort of lets you forget the negative. And it goes to more of an internal sense, like whatever's going on around me is not a big deal, but it's about my personal hatred for what's going to happen.
Right, and you got
to
hate, when I say hate, not like, because nobody, they say, well, I don't like winning. No, you have to hate, or I don't like losing. No, you got to hate losing, right. Like a personal enemy. It's like, this guy is going to kill me, or I'm going to kill it. We're going into a death match, grudge match. One of us is coming out here alive. Now, if I do get beat, it's not because I didn't put out my best effort and that I choked.
Right.
No, it's I performed my best, and that person or team was legitimately better than me. I can go to sleep at night with that. I can live with that if I legitimately got beat. You saw, like, Mississippi State this weekend? Mm-hmm. They didn't roll over. They had no shot at winning that game the whole time. You know, I'm an Alabama fan. I was not worried. LSU, I was worried. I was biting my fingernails. Mississippi State, I wasn't worried the whole game. But Mississippi State didn't roll over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They made it legitimately close.
So why is it that some people seem more able to sort of compartmentalize that emotion and have that greater response? Why is it that people seem more capable of
it? It's how you frame the issue. Hate, love to win or hate to lose. Boxers or briefs, right? So if you're a love to win guy, know that that's coming. It's lurking. The choke is going to happen. Johns Hopkins University, you know, they did the study. If you hate to lose, I mean, you hate to lose. Personal enemy, you're not going to choke because there is there's nothing on the line except for your personal self-respect. Right? It doesn't matter whether I win the trophy or I don't win the trophy. What matters is, can I go to sleep tonight knowing that I did my absolute best and nobody imposed their will on me?
Mm-hmm.
So you just reframe how you're looking at it.
It's real. I mean, it's all my life I've been asked questions like that, and I've always given that answer. Coach Green, Kerry Green, famous basketball coach at Liberty, was the coach, assistant coach here at Clemson. He asked me, he said, you know, if it's the end of a game, you want the ball, or do you want to be on defense? You know, you have a one-point lead that you're protecting. You got to stop somebody, or you're down one with the ball. I said, I want the lead. He said, why? I said, because nobody's scoring on me. I'm not going to let them score. So it's the same mentality. You know, right. you're in one camp or the other. I want the lead, and I want to defend that. I want to see if you're going to get by, because I ain't going to let you do it. It ain't happening. I'm going to stop you. That's how confident I am. I think it's a little different. I'm not saying it's right or wrong if you want the ball, because maybe you're a gifted scorer. But that's the same way I feel about my Hey, you're a choke guy, though.
Been out of this choke guy. I'm the guy that wants to be down one with the ball in my hand.
I want Quark with the ball.
Man, you need my help.
Because he's
going to
choke.
You need my help.
You're right. I'm here for therapy.
I do coaching. Therapy is looking backwards and trying to – no, coaching is going forwards. That's what we do. We don't
like
do therapy,
that.
Man.
For the record, I want Quark with the ball and me on defense. I feel great. I may eat a donut while I'm guarding him, too.
What are you trying to say? That's going to take me that long to get to the – yes. Yeah, true story. Now, we had a similar conversation we've been having over the past week about this Giancarlo Stanton contract.
Yeah.
And how do you keep yourself on edge you get all that money?
No, I just read a study on this, and it was next year. The guys that didn't have guaranteed money did way better the next year. Because you're playing, and so this goes back to, you know, the same thing we were talking about. If the reward is already given, if the Oreo with peanut butter and frosty milk is right there, and it tastes so good or whatever, and you know, well, you know it's fat-free, or you tell yourself it is, you're going to eat it. It's the same thing. It's guaranteed money. You're going to be on the couch, just like you said about Stan. He's on the couch. He ain't working out. He's not hungry anymore. So the issue is now framed in the reward center of his mind instead of the, you know, the motor skill attention. So, yeah, the guaranteed money, it's never good.
These guys that are playing this game that are on edge,
yeah,
they're not on edge because they just love the game. They're on edge because they're trying to take care of their family.
Absolutely.
And they're trying to be in existence
like everybody
else
in life.
Exactly.
You got to produce.
Once you sign that $325 million, that edge is gone. Mission accomplished.
Yep.
Now accomplish the mission that you've been trying to accomplish your whole life.
Time to take the pack off, as we say in the store, right?
It is done. Poof. Give me $325 million. I am done.
Yeah, why? Like, I know sometimes that people say that you need to get what you're worth, and you're only worth as much as the last guy's contract relative to your performance. So if Giancarlo Stanton's more important than the last guy that got a dumb contract, well, he's by nature, he's going to get a dumb contract. But you would think that people, as smart as front offices are, mm-hmm. you would think that they would have people that know that when we give this guy all this money, that he's going to have a drop-off. He's not going to be hungry. Albert Pujols out in California, he's all of a sudden hurt a bunch. Hey, did his body really break down, or is he taking days off
now? Mental toughness is for the guys in the front office, too. They still need that critical thinking component. They need to check their emotions. It's the same thing. I mean, in business, it's the same. It's just a different performance field, but it's still performance.
Right.
So you still got to go through that same progression. You know, maybe they're looking at, we give this guy the big contract, and they're looking at, we could get back to the World Series. Remember when the Marlins won the World Series? Maybe we could do that, right? Instead of saying, no, we hate being at the bottom, and we hate not having the stands filled, we hate that more than we want to win. You see, if they reframe that issue in a business mindset, you know, then they would make better business decisions. So you're making decisions based on not the reward of, oh, hey, look at the bright, shiny ball, you know, of winning, and say, you know, we're not going to get dominated anymore. Absolutely not. We're going to be successful because we hate not being successful.
That's all. Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy and it's weird and it's true, in my opinion. I love that stuff.
Andrew Whitman talking with us, GetWarriorTough.com. We appreciate him joining us in our last few minutes. All right, we got a couple more minutes with you. A couple more questions.
Yeah.
First of all, we talk to you about this just about every week, about letdowns.
Yeah.
And for a team like Clemson, that's coming off an emotional loss to Georgia Tech. You mentioned some examples.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn was a prime one. It comes off a big loss, and then they just flat-out stunk against Georgia. Is there a way, is there something that you see when you're watching during a week or something, if you can see a coach saying certain things or whatever, that you say, oh, man, this team is really in trouble? Or when you see a coach respond a certain way or players respond a certain way, you're like, okay, they're good. Because a lot of times everybody's going to say the same thing, but is there something that you look at and you can tell?
Yeah, it goes back to the culture and identity. You know, if you have to dominate and control this thing, and we focus on that instead of any of the baggage of what just happened. It's hard to overcome that. I mean, we saw that with Alabama and Oklahoma State last year, right?
Right.
And so you're coming up. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I hope that this message that we're talking about today, reframing the issue, will help Clemson go in and beat Carolina. Because Carolina's got nothing else to play for except beating Clemson.
Right.
Okay? And so hopefully the coaches can reframe it so that they can get every, and again, biopsychology, I can get my body to line up with my thoughts instead of having my thoughts go counter to what I want my body to do and then choke. So, you know, it really depends on what's going on inside the locker room and a culture. You can't just do it 1 week. It's not a quick fix. You have to build a culture around, you know, I will not be dominated. You know, that's the Marine Corps, the SEALs, the Rangers. You know, none of those guys are like, you know, rolling over.
Right.
If they did, we'd all be speaking German after World War II and Russian after the Cold War, you know. So free to, you know, come down to Best Chevrolet.
That's right. That's exactly right. Andrew Whitman, check him out at GetWarriorTough.com. We always appreciate the time, and especially
thanks,
now that you're here, and you can coach me a little bit on hating to lose.
I'll give you an hour afterwards, right? Stay off the pizza. I'm just saying that.
You know, I'm thinking about right now, like, there are some things that I really hate to lose, and there are some things I really love to win. I don't know that I can characterize myself as one of the, like, basketball. I hate to lose in basketball. Video games, I love to win. I don't hate to lose in video games. Like, I don't get physically ill when I lose in video games.
But that's why you always lose in video games, though.
Thanks, Dutch.
Yep.
I appreciate it. You just outed me as an inferior player. I appreciate that very much. Hey, we've had a great, great, great time here at Best Chevy. Come by. Check out the great.